Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet today back on the airwaves here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Coming at you live from our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios in beautiful, warm Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I am Logan Gordon. He is Patrick Dumas. Joining us on the program today, our board op and producer, Alex Brody. On a Calgary Flames game day, following a heartbreaking, soul-crushing loss to the Seattle Kraken last night. It's over, Patrick. No, they're not going 82-0. The perfect preseason is over, and it feels like it never really began. But yes, we're back at it tonight at the Scotiabank Saddledome. We will chat about the Seattle Kraken game last night, get into some players that we liked, some that we didn't. Hard to evaluate a 3-0 game from the Calgary Flames. There were some positives. There were some negatives. We'll dive into all of that, as well as getting a game day preview from tonight's game. We did this yesterday. We'll do it again today. A look from both sides ahead of tonight's matchup at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Julian McKenzie, our pal from The Athletic, new on the Flames beat this season. He's going to join us just after 8 o'clock. We'll get his impressions on this Calgary Flames team so far through training camp. And a look at the Edmonton Oilers with Daniel Nugent Bowman, also of The Athletic. He covers the Oilers, of course. What's up with them? How's Jack Campbell looked so far in camp? What kind of group can we expect the Oilers to send tonight? I would expect a much more NHL-laden lineup for the Calgary Flames tonight at home, yep. Patrick, after the group they sent to Seattle last night.
Yeah, it sounds like Jacob Markstrom will be making his preseason debut tonight for the Flames. Dan Vladar got the start last night in Seattle. He also got the game here in Calgary against Vancouver. And Vladar's looked really good through his first two starts, so I'm interested to see how Jacob Markstrom looks. We know how his season ended in that series against Edmonton, so I'm sure he'll be have a little bit. I know it's preseason, and I know it's not, but I'm sure he'll have a little bit more motivation tonight if he is the starter and going up against the provincial rivals in Edmonton.
So we'll chat lots of Calgary Flames hockey on your program today. Of course, we'll also have the morning report coming up next segment with Patrick Dumas. And then at 7 o'clock, our weekly check-in with Stampeders head coach Dave Dickinson. Nothing to talk about with Dave.
Nothing there.
Just massive news from the Calgary Stampeders yesterday. A contract extension for Jake Mayer. He will be with the team to the 2024 season. After signing a contract with the Stampeders, and what does that mean for the future of Bo Levi Mitchell? The CFL trade deadline has not passed. Bo spoke to the media yesterday, said, look, I haven't asked for a trade. There have been phone calls, but I haven't asked for a trade. I'll evaluate everything at the end of the season. But if we're being honest, sure feels like a pretty clear indication of the future here in Calgary. I think the timing says everything, Patrick, to do it during the season while Jake's taken over as your starting quarterback really says, you know, look, this is the guy they're going to roll with in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it feels like the Stamps have made their decision. They've seen enough out of Jake Mayer here to give him the big CFL raise. I know it's not a lot when you're talking NFL standards. Still, it's a big bump for starting money as a quarterback in this league. And, Bo, you could just hear it in his voice. Like, you know, there is disappointment for sure. You quarterback this team for as long as he has and had the amount of success that he has. It is going to be a little disappointing when you see, the guy that you thought was your understudy take your job from you. And Mayer's earned it. You know, Bo's lost the job. He has not performed up to snuff this year. So I totally get, this and the Stamps wanting to get their security blanket going with Jake Mayer. And we know Bo Levi Mitchell is a free agent at the end of the season. And the CFL trade deadline just happens to be 1 week from today at 3 p.m. I know that the Stamps have, they're not going to say anything. And Bo's not going to say anything. But it does, read the tea leaves here. It's, you see what Vernon Adams got as a rental player. You know, there's still some teams that need some quarterbacking in this league. So I'm wondering, somebody throws a first at you.
I don't think they'll be trading him.
That's just my guess. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either, just because you know that you need the security in this league.
Yeah, they don't have it. Tommy Stevens is a good short yardage quarterback, but he's too new to the league.
No, so. God, you know, Mayer goes down, and we know that, you know, two quarterbacks have won Grey Cups in this league right now. One of them is back up here.
Speaking of the Calgary Stampeders, they're next in action on Saturday at home against the Toronto Argonauts. And a very special part of this today that we're doing throughout our shows, Eric Francis, our pal from Sportsnet, is going to send some fans to a luxury suite for the Stampeders and the Argos. But we're going to do it to support our pals at Kids Sport Calgary. So here's the deal. We're going to do some auctions throughout the show today. If you would like to be a part of this, we have up for bid a 16-seat luxury suite at McMahon Stadium on the 50-yard line on the east side for Saturday's game at 5 o'clock between the Argos and the Stampeders. You and 15 of your closest friends, 4 parking passes, private bathroom, will provide some food, nachos, popcorn, chicken wings, all the good stuff to go see the Stamps and the Argos. We're going to have a little auction. All you have to do is call in to our pal Alex on the other side. Alex, say hello to the people.
Hello. Sorry, I was by the phone. I wasn't ready for that.
No, it's fine. It's where you should be. You will need to be by the phone. If you would like to place a bid for this, all the money will go to Kids Sport Calgary to support our pals there. Call in to Alex, 403-240-4444, with your first and last name and a number that we can reach you at, and we'll get you set up on Saturday. Again, all of the money going to Kids Sport Calgary. Luxury suite, Stamps and Argos on Saturday, 16 seats, 4 parking passes. We're on the 50-yard line for a Saturday night, private bathroom, nachos, chicken wings, popcorn, all the good stuff. What should we start this out at, Patrick? 500?
Yeah, let's start off at
$500. Again, for a great cause, our pals at Kids Sport do tremendous work in this city, making sure that everybody that wants to play sport and has access to sport can do so. We know times are tough. We know things are frustrating with the economy. Mm-hmm. Everything is more expensive. That trickles down to parents and kids all the time, but Kids Sport does not turn anybody away. Kevin and the group there are incredible, and we want to make sure that we support them as best we can. So if you would like to place a bid on this luxury suite for the Stamps and the Argos, give us a call, 403-240-4444. Alex will answer the phone. He'll take your name and your number. We'll start it off at $500. We'll run this throughout the morning and into the afternoon.
So yeah, we'll go into flame stock as well.
Yeah, we'll go into flame stock with this as well. So if you're able to, if you're interested in this, give us a call, 403-240-4444, and we will get you into this luxury suite for the Stampeders and the Argos coming up on Saturday. Let's go back to Seattle last night. Hear from the head coach, Daryl Sutter, following the Flames' 3-0 defeat at the hands of the Seattle Kraken.
I think it was a good game for our organization to look at a lot of different players.
What did you see from some of those guys? Obviously a good opportunity for them.
But... yeah, I just think we worked hard. We just didn't have much finish in our game.
Curious about a guy like Connor Zary. I mean, we got a chance to see him in Penticton, and you know, last year he had the injury in training camp. How does this benefit a guy?
I think the experience of playing some of these games is important for him. I think it's important here. He hasn't played, as you said, much hockey. Last year, between breaking bone in his foot early and then concussion. So really, in a lot of ways, he's probably going into his first pro year.
Daryl, for a guy like that who hasn't played against a ton of NHL competition, games, what do you hope he takes away from experience like that?
Well, I did, you know, early in training camp or early in preseason games, there's not a whole lot to it, right? Because you're playing basically a third or half NHL players. But as it goes along, then it starts to sort itself out. And what he takes from it is where he's got to get better. And I'm not just talking about him. You know, the speed, the size, the savvy, all those things.
You talked the other day about sort of the confidence that Dan Vladar got going in the preseason last year. What did you think of him tonight?
Yep, very solid again. I think we talked lots about covering pucks and getting face-offs, things like that, and I think he's really good at it. I think there's always work for him to do, but it's the same thing. He made the team last year in not just in terms of making it, but in terms of getting the trust of his teammates and coaches in training camp. So we want him to take another step in that.
Is that as important as anything, is what he's kind of showing the rest of the guys then, when you talk about it?
Yeah, I think once, you're still a full camp, right? I mean, when you're playing tomorrow, that many games in, four games in 5 days. So, I think that the guys who played with him last year would trust him for sure.
A guy like Adam Ruzicka, who's played primarily center for, I think, most of or all of his.
The 2-2. Fastball, strike three.
Opportunity to be in this opening day lineup. I mean, that's what you're looking for. And is he going to do that at center ice?
Did he move over back into center?
Yeah, just the third period there. We moved him back with Belche and Phillips. Just moved guys around, moved Colt to wing. Schwent, he was basically because he was really good on faceoffs all night and kind of covering for Connor, quite honest. No, other than I think our goalie was really good.
There you go. That's the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Daryl Sutter. Tiny bit of Blue Jays mixed in there as well. We'll talk about them later. But, yeah, you heard it right there. Wes Gilbertson from Post Media asking the question, anybody really stand out for you? Yeah, the goalie. That's probably not the answer you'd want.
No.
Seeing as how his position as the backup, I think, is pretty set in stone at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very good preseason. It was another good performance from Dan Vladar last night. I think there were a couple of guys that I liked, but I wouldn't say anybody stole the show for me in a way that I was hoping for, Patrick. I thought Dylan Dubé was okay. I thought Mackey looked good on that pairing with Milosh. Milosh has surprised me a lot. As a guy I didn't know a lot about coming into camp, that pairing has looked good. Cody Eakin, for what it's worth, was 60% on the faceoff circle last night. You heard Daryl Sutter mention him there, and his prowess at that has been noticeable at camp, and that's something that Daryl and the rest of the Flames organization recognized about Cody as part of bringing him in on this PTO, and that's good to see that continuing. I think that's something the Flames seemingly always struggle with, is the faceoff dog.
Yeah.
But anyways, that stood out. I didn't think anybody else like that. I mean, Matthew Phillips, probably put him in that group.
Two really good chances in the third period. He missed a shot in the slot just wide of the Kraken goalie and then got denied right in front on the doorstep. So Phillips was in and around the action for sure yesterday. I think of the guys in the top of trying to take a top nine role, of the guys that maybe had some run in AHL Stockton last year, Matthew Phillips is definitely the one that's stepped up the most to try and earn a spot in this top nine. I don't think you want to be. We get it. We get Dan Vladar is going to be the backup, and you want to see Dan Vladar get better and better as his NHL career progresses, and you want to see him play more, I think, this year for sure. And him being reliable is key number one. But I think when you're watching these preseason games and you see an open spot in that top nine, you're hoping somebody steps up right now. I know they've only played three games and, it's preseason. You play with different guys and whatnot. But of the PTOs, it's Cody Eakin that's leading the way right now. And I don't think, he's not going to be a slot in the top nine right now. But Sonny Milano, I don't think, has done nearly enough right now to say, yeah, he's the name. He's got the name value behind him. But right now, he's not blowing me away.
I thought he was okay in the earlier game that he got into. I didn't stand out as much last night. I mean, in fairness, no one else did either. I thought it was a big chance for Adam Rzeczka to show what he could do playing on the wing, because that's obviously right now organizationally a better spot for him to get into the lineup than anything. I don't know. I just thought it was a very okay performance from everybody. And for some of those guys, that's not going to be enough. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
I thought Jacob Pelche needed to have a bigger impact last night. I can't walk away from a game like this if I'm Jacob Pelche and seeing no shots on goal, no hits, no blocks. I need you to be more in the fabric of the game if I really want to consider you. And you know, look, that's Matthew Phillips had a couple chances. He's got three blocks on the night. He was much more noticeable for me in all of this. Again, another guy like that, Yusuf Alamaki. I can't be noticing Connor Mackey and Nicholas Melosh more than you.
No.
If you want to be that guy in that spot, we still have no word on when Oliver Shillington is going to be ready. And frankly, it doesn't matter. Whenever he's ready, he's ready.
Yeah.
But when he does come in, he'll have missed a significant amount of training camp. And you know, this was a good chance for somebody to step up and maybe take some regular season action on that third pairing. I don't know that Yusuf's done enough for me yet. At least last night wasn't... wasn't the type of performance I think you're hoping for some of those guys really on the border.
It was on the second Kraken goal. It was the 2-on-1 goal. You can't really fault Valimak. He looked like a turnstile. He was Schwartz made the one pass to Olsson. Olsson made it back to Schwartz. Valimak, he just got turned around, back to the play. Probably not something you want to look like on a 2-on-1. Didn't give Vladar much of a chance at all to save that one. So I get it. You that's a guy you definitely need to see more out of. And I know the injuries were there, but he had a rough season last year. I don't know how many more times he's going to get a chance here. He is waivers eligible too. So,
yeah, I mean, I just I think the basis of it for me is I go back to last season and what did Oliver Shillington do in preseason? I mean, he stood out pretty much at every opportunity he was given.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I think right now Matthew Phillips has kind of been that guy so far. Now, does that continue into, you know, with being... It'll have to take its step from standing out in this lineup to standing out in a more NHL lineup as well. Like, that's going to have to be a part of this conversation as camp continues. I look back at what it took for Shillington to get into the lineup last year, and it took a lot of standing out in every situation he was put in last training camp, and frankly, there haven't been some of those guys that I'd hoped for, and Sonny Milano, I think, had some moments last night. I probably wasn't as down on him as you were. I thought he was okay, and I think so far to training camp, everything sounded pretty good for him. But I also think he's a guy that, with all due respect to the lineup, I think he needs a little more skill around
that's
him.
Fair.
That's kind of where he flourishes a bit more. Yeah. So we'll see. I don't think anyone's played themselves out of the conversation.
No, and that's
tonight's
for sure
going to be a much more NHL version. If we went by the groups that we saw yesterday, expect a pretty, you know, I think Huberto will be back in things today. Like you said, I think Jacob Markstrom will be... probably, I wouldn't be surprised if
he
splits
him 40.
Time.
Yeah, at least give him 40 minutes.
Yeah,
or
splits it with Dustin Wolf, give him some more time. But, you know, like you said, I don't think Chris Tanev will play tonight. I don't think.
We know Kadri's probably not playing.
Yeah, Kadri not. Is Andrew Mangiapane ready to jump into the lineup? I don't know. We'll see. So it'll be a different group that we're looking at standing out. And a couple of more NHL-ready lines that we'll be looking at tonight.
We'll probably get another look at the top line. Huberto, Lindholm, and Toffoli, see how they're looking. I know they weren't too impressed with their game on Sunday, but I know that was only their first game, and I know Huberto got the goal on the power play, but that was all they got from those group. But I don't know exactly. This is all about working yourself out, finding the chemistry now, and that'll come with time. So, yeah, I definitely expect more of a NHL-laden lineup.
Just little improvements.
Yeah, just little improvements here and there. But like you said, there's nobody that's looked out of line here. Nobody's looked like, whoa, they can't do this right now. Guys even like Jeremy Poirier, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be in the NHL this year, but it's good to see guys, making their first trek into the professional leagues, and then, you know, looking not so much out of place. I thought Cole Schwint looked good yesterday too. Fired one off the post. So
tonight against the Edmonton Oilers, 7 p.m. puck drop from the Scotiabank Saddledome means Flames warm-up with Pat Steinberg goes at 6. Derek Wills, Peter Labardius from the Scotiabank Saddledome on the call right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Part of a home-and-home in this preseason against the Edmonton Oilers. They'll be back in action Friday in Edmonton. Then Seattle's here on Monday. Next week, Winnipeg for another home-and-home to finish off the preseason with games on Wednesday and Friday. That's the 5th and 7th of October. So as we're sitting here on the 28th, Patrick, still lots of time for all of this to figure itself out. We won't even be done our last game until next Friday. So we've got lots of time to figure all this out.
Yeah, I think maybe this one and possibly Friday's game against the Oilers might be, your last chances. I don't know when the next cutdowns will be, but I mean, maybe probably on the weekend would be the next cuts ahead of those final three games next week, where you're going to start seeing more of the NHL guys. I believe the Wranglers camp will be opening up as well. So we'll start getting this roster narrowed down a little bit. But right now, I mean, it's a good thing. You know, there's guys that are, there's options, I think. We're just waiting for somebody to really take it by the horns.
Yeah, and you'll start to see once there's more practice time and more cuts where guys mm-hmm. fall and who the coaching staff feels has been effective. And that's, you know, really the big indication. It doesn't really matter what we say or what we think. It's going to come down to what Darryl and the coaching staff and Brad Treliving want to do. And that'll be the clear indication mm-hmm. of who stood out to them, good or bad, when it comes to the Calgary Flames. So three preseason games in the book. Preseason game number 4 goes tonight from the Scotiabank Saddledome. I want to remind you one more time about our auction for Kids Sport Calgary today. It's from our pal Eric Francis. He is donating a luxury suite to this Saturday's game between the Calgary Stampeders and the Toronto Argonauts. You'll receive, if you want to bid on this, 16 tickets to the game in this suite, which is right on the 50-yard line on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you 4 parking passes so that everybody can park nice and close, get right to the stadium. We'll also have, as part of the suite, you'll have a private bathroom and area for drinks. You got some food coming your way. We'll be serving you some nachos, chicken wings, popcorn, all the good stuff that you want to get at a football game. And we'll set you up for a great Saturday night at McMahon between the Argos and the Stampeders. If you want to bid on this luxury suite, you can give us a call, 403-240-4444. Alex is on the other side. He will be there to take your call. First name and last name with a phone number that we can reach you at. We're starting it off at $500. It is worth well over that.
Mm-hmm.
All the money going to our friends at Kids Sport Calgary, making sure that everybody, all kids that need access to sport and want access to sport can do that. They don't turn anyone away. I said this 1,000 times. Kevin and the group there do tremendous work to make sure that everybody that wants to play sport has a chance to do so. And this is just another chance for us to spread the word about kids sport and the chance for some of our listeners to support them and get a really awesome opportunity to go to the game on Saturday. Once again, 403-240-4444. If you'd like to be our opening bid at $500 for the luxury suite this Saturday night at McMahon Stadium, Stampeders and Argos with a 5:00 kickoff. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. Patrick Dumas got you caught up with everything you need to know. It's the Morning Report coming up next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Let's get caught up on everything that's happened in the world of sports since we did this last, Patrick. It's time for the Morning Report. The Morning Report brought to you by Motorworks. Exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. Patrick Dumas, where do we start today?
Well, it was a Flames game day yesterday. It's a Flames game day today. Last night, it was preseason game numero number 3. They were taking on the Seattle Kraken.
Numero number 3?
Numero number 3, saying number twice.
Wow, okay.
Flames sending
numero number 3, all right. That's all right.
Mumbo number 5.
Yeah, sure.
Flames sending a good chunk of their AHL roster, but both PTOs, Cody Eakin and Sonny Milano, made the trip as well, as did Dylan Dubé, skating alongside Cody Eakin and Walker Duehr. Seattle addressing about half NHL regulars like Jordan Eberle, Jaden Schwartz, Yanni Gourde, as well as fourth overall pick from this past June's draft, Shane Wright, making his Kraken debut, centering Jaden Schwartz and Jordan Eberle. Let's pick this one up in the first period. Flames had their chances. Adam Rzeczka made a great pass to Nick DeSimone, but Grubauer stoned him. Dan Vladar making the call for the Flames denies Will Borgen on a 3-on-2 shorthanded, and later on made a couple big saves on Shane Wright and Vince Dunn during a Seattle's only power play of the period. Shots 13-9 Kraken after one period of play, but zeros where it mattered. Second period, more good stuff from Vladar, denying Gustav Olofsson on a nice drive off the wing. But with 7:30 to go in the period, Vince Dunn and Daniel Sprong start something for the Kraken.
Dunn wheels in behind the Flames net, into the far corner and centers, and now they score. Nice pass by Vince Dunn from the far corner into the high slot, and Daniel Sprong one times the puck past Dan Vladar, and the Kraken on their 21st shot of the hockey game finally score and take a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, Dunn goes on a skate behind the Flames net, finds Sprong, 1-0 Seattle. Magnus Hellberg now in net for the Kraken. A few seconds after the Dunn goal, Adam Klapka gets Sprong on thanks to a Seattle turnover at the Flames blue line, but Klapka was denied on the breakaway. Didn't get his best shot away. Would have if he didn't have a guy draped all over him. Late second period, Flames on the power play. Dylan Dubé turns the puck over at the Kraken blue line, and Seattle goes on a 2-on-1.
Kraken will clear it out. Here they come shorthanded. And up the right wing side, Schwartz centering, gets it back from McCann and scores. A nice back and forth passing play finished by four-time 20-goal getter Jaden Schwartz. And a shorthanded goal gives the Kraken a 2-0 lead.
Is that the best goal song in the NHL? Lithium? Nirvana?
Not for me.
It's low-hanging fruit. You know, grunge, Seattle. Makes sense.
Yeah, it fits their brand.
Yeah, yeah. Good pressure by Seattle. Forces Dubé to turn it over. Couldn't do much on that one. Vladar couldn't do much on that one, I should say. 2-0 Seattle after 43rd period now. Flames on the power play. Matthew Phillips had a nice chance in the slot. Goes wide of Hellberg. Cole Schwint fires one off the post. Hellberg then stones Phillips right on his doorstep. Kraken would then finally put this one away.
Podorowski will shoot it down the ice and score. From inside his own blue line, Andrew Podorowski puts the puck into the empty Flames net, and it is 3-0 Kraken.
Yeah, Kraken take this preseason game 3-0. Nobody looked, too out of sorts. I like Nick DeSimone's game. I liked, obviously, Dan Vladar was great. Thought Cody Eakin was good as well. But, the coach said, had a good game. He thought the goalie played well. We talked about it in the last segment. We're just waiting on somebody to come out and try and take one of these top nine spots.
Yeah, I don't know that there were a ton of candidates in this game for that spot. I think, obviously, Sonny Milano is going to be the guy that a lot of people look at. And, again, I don't think that he jumped off the page. But the good news is for him, I don't know that a ton of people did either. I thought Matthew Phillips probably had the best game of anybody in the forward rank, and his spot in the organization is an interesting one, so we'll see. I thought Connor Mackey and Nicholas Meloche were a good pairing. I thought they showed up pretty well. But yeah, clearly the star of this one for the Calgary Flames was Dan Vladar, and that's good news. I really do think this is a great year for them to use more of Dan Vladar and use that workload for Jacob Markstrom in a more appropriate way. And Dan's, I think, shown to be one of the best backups that they've had here in a very long time. So
at a position, position that's been awful here for so many years. We know what Kiprusoff's backups were like, and getting a guy like a workhorse like Markstrom, give him. I think if Vladar gets 20 games, you're doing all right. You're doing all right there. Flames playing preseason game number 4 tonight at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. It's the Oilers' first battle of Alberta since Game 5 of last year's second-round playoff series. Could see some real NHL lineups tonight, possibly. Jacob Markstrom expected to make his preseason debut. Oilers writer from The Athletic, Daniel Nugent Bowman, will join us at 7:30 to give us an update from Oilers camp. Rest of the NHL story. I love the little Department of Player Safety thing. Yeah, yeah. They got their first work of the 2022-23 season. Happened on Monday, but during the Kraken and Oilers game, Seattle forward Jacob Melanson was suspended 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Oilers forward James Hamblin, so he's going to miss 2 preseason games there. The Leafs, they got some bad news at camp yesterday, as they'll be without their captain John Tavares for at least 3 weeks, meaning he'll likely miss the opening 4 games of their season. Leafs open October 12th against the Montreal Canadiens. Team doctors are calling it an oblique injury. A lot of those going around. Tavares suffered the injury in the Buds 4-1 win over Ottawa on Saturday. Yeah, Florida Panthers, they signed one of their goalies to a new deal. Spencer Knight got a 3-year extension worth $4.5 million. Knight put together a heck of a season last year, won 19 games, I believe, for the Florida Panthers, as they have Sergei Bobrovsky that they're paying a boatload too, and obviously have Spencer Knight is there as well, and at points Knight might be the better goalie, so that's what happened elsewhere around the NHL.
Yeah, the Spencer Knight news is an interesting one. They're already paying Bobrovsky a ton of money, and interesting to see how long he can last as the starter in Florida. They obviously need him now if they want to continue off of a President's Trophy last year, but Spencer Knight, obviously the goaltender of the future, they're paying up early for him. Hopefully, saving some money down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it works out that way, I don't know, because the guy you've got ahead of him right now is on a massive contract for the next couple of years that just can't be moved.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one, because you're right. At times, they've needed Spencer Knight to fill in for Sergei Bobrovsky, but at the same time, you're paying the guy $10 million. You want him to be number one.
You're not paying your backup $4.5 million.
No, it's like, you want to be more clear on all of that. So it's interesting. It's a good situation. You definitely want to have your next goaltender in the organization.
Yeah,
happy and with the group, and probably overpaying for Spencer Knight will probably keep him pretty content for the future going forward as a backup / 1B at times.
Yeah, I guess 1A, 1B. I think that's eventually how it's going to shake down. But Bill Zito, man, a lot of money you're paying out to the old Sergei. To baseball, Blue Jays, Yankees, game 2 of 3. Reigning Hart Trophy winner Austin Matthews on hand to throw out the first pitch.
Bad luck, probably.
I don't know. Blue Jays magic number down to 3 as they play the middle game of the 3 with the Yankees. New York's magic number to clinch the division down to 1. Jose Berríos getting the start for the Bluebirds. Jameson Taillon for the Yankees. Jays with a hot start in this one.
Compact windup, Taillon deals. And Springer scalds one. Straight away center field. Judge back at the wall. It's gone! What a start for the Blue Jays! Another mark in the history books. This one is for George Springer. His 52nd career leadoff home run.
52 career leadoff home runs. This one to straightaway center, 431 feet. Jays lead 1-0. Jose Berríos looking for a little bit of his own personal career milestone. Just 6 strikeouts away from 1,000. He'd strike out Donaldson and Kiner Falefa swinging clean. Open 2 innings for Berríos. Next inning, not so easy. Kyle Higashioka singles. And then after Aaron Hicks flies out, Judge still in search of number 61. He would walk. Well, he would walk 4 times in the night. So now there's 2 on with just 1 out. Anthony Rizzo would single, scoring Higashioka. Torres would then single, scoring Judge. But that would be all the Yankees get. Berríos again would strike out Josh Donaldson. And then Giancarlo Stanton, 2-1. New York after 3. Next half inning, some history finally for Jose Berríos.
The 2-2. Fastball, strike 3 called. Got him looking at 97. Back-to-back strikeouts for Jose Berríos. He's got 5 on the night.
Yeah, that would be 5, and then eventually he would get his 1,000th K. Yankees leave another man on base, still just 2-1. Top of 5 after another Judge walk. Rizzo with a high pop-up, and this would be the start of the defensive gaffes for the Blue Jays. This ball was up there for a very long time. It's a miscommunication between George Springer. He got a late start on it. It's not really Bo Bichette's ball, but, I don't know really there. That ball would drop in between them. Gleyber Torres would then score. It was single-scoring Judge. Raimel Tapia would make a great play throwing out Rizzo at third. But nonetheless, it is 3-1 Yankees. More rough defense from Bo Bichette. Second night in a row, he throws wide at first. gets charged with his 22nd error of the season. Runners now at the corners for Giancarlo Stanton. But Berríos would get him looking for Jose's seventh strikeout of the night. That Judge run would be all the Yankees get. 2-run lead, despite the Jays giving up the Yankees every opportunity to bury them. Top six, Aaron Hicks would double scoring Kyle Higashioka again. That would do it for Berríos. Seven strikeouts, but there's four earned runs weren't great. Zach Pop now in the game, trying to get the Jays out of another jam. Walks Judge. Gleyber Torres would pick up his third RBI of the night. Now 5-1 Yankees. Bottom six, George Springer stays hot with leadoff single. Now, Bo Bichette looks like he would get himself a double, but then the follow-through on his slide, the toe didn't stay on the bag. Come on! Jays would challenge, no cigar. Bichette gets called out on Springer's third, with Springer now on third. Now two outs for Vladdy at the dish.
Here's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Swings at the first pitch and rips it up the left field line, and it is off the fence, down and in play. Guerrero digs for second. Here's the throw. Hicks on the money. The tag by Torres, and the Blue Jays get the out on the bases, but they will pick up the run from Springer. The Blue Jays all over the bases in this one. Twice out on the bases. Vladdy with a handspurs dive into second, reaching for the bag, thrown out on a good throw from Aaron Hicks, and that will retire the side.
They get the run, but that's just sloppy. Miscues in late September with a playoff spot on the line. You can't be doing it. Just hand the baton off to the next guy. Keep the inning alive. But don't listen to me. I mean, you heard Buck Martinez absolutely tearing it off the Blue Jays. You can't be playing like that. You want to play like a champion, you can't be playing like that. And then, bottom nine, last at bat for the Jays. Champagne on ice for the New York Yankees.
The 2-2. Ground ball, middle of the diamond, charging in. Torres, who's had a big night, throws to first in time to finish the ball game and give the New York Yankees a clinching win for the American League Eastern Division for the 20th time in Yankee history. They will celebrate winning the American League East.
So, yeah, it was only a matter of time before the Yankees clinched the American League East. That's their 20th title, as Ben Wagner said. That's the most ever in the American League. Aaron Judge's pursuit of Roger Maris's AL home run record. We'll have to wait one more day. But, man, hey, Logo, that bottom seven, the errors on the bases, that's just inexcusable at a major league level. It's late September. You got to be better.
Yeah, you do. Look, and John Schneider spoke about it post-game, and something that we haven't seen a lot of, and he wasn't pleased
Vitriol.
With some of his young players and some of their mistakes last night.
Weird play from Bo. Heads up by Connor Falefa to keep the tag on. You got to just be a little bit more careful if you're Bo. You see it sometimes, and it's a weird thing with replay, and you got to just be a little bit more attentive to what you're doing. And Vladdy flat out needs to run harder. That's inexcusable. I'll tell him that, when I see him later tonight. We're at the point where every little thing matters, every 90 feet matters. It should matter every day of the season. And, that wasn't the best right there.
Yeah, it's not April. It's not spring training. What are you doing? This is the rag that people had on Vladdy. Does he give it his all?
Yeah, I mean, I think he does. I think it's just sometimes you have to, pay more attention to the situation around you. It's not a stand-up double off the wall like that. So you have to, if you're going to make that jump, you better be on your horse, and he wasn't. So I think it's a case of, sometimes the young players, this was what Charlie Montoyo got criticized for a lot of, was he never said things like that post-game if they made mistakes. It was learning opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we're in September. You're in a playoff spot. Not the time for learning opportunities.
That's exactly it. Tonight, the finale of this series. Yankees already clinched the division, but the Jays still have a lot to play for, and Aaron Judge has some personal history to attend to as well. It'll be Mitch White up against Garrett Cole. Some good news, though. Garrett Cole has surrendered an American League high 31 home runs, including Vlad Jr. hitting three off of them at the start of the year, but we'll see what happens. Maybe Judge hits 61 tonight. I worry for Mitch White, but I also worried for Jose Berríos yesterday, but the Jays didn't give Judge anything. So that'll be a 5:07 first pitch. No radio for it for here on Sportsnet 960, but you can watch it on Sportsnet West. The rest of the Major League Baseball story, So yeah, Blue Jays magic number is 3 heading into Tuesday. What was it going to be after Tuesday? Let's start in Boston. The Red Sox and Orioles breaking out the bats again. Boston leading 8-3 after 3. Orioles would claw back to tie it, scoring 5 in their next half of the inning. But in the bottom of the 5th, Boston back in front 10-8. They would put this one away.
Lunging, and he's going to drop that one in. Kike is in to score. Connor Wong is in to score. And Raffy picks up a couple of RBIs. He's up to 87 now. Once again, the Red Sox have breathing room. It's 12-8.
Boston would end up winning 13-9, meaning the Jays' magic number to clinch a playoff spot is now down to 2. So there is a chance with the Jays' win tonight and an Orioles' loss that the Blue Jays will be back in the postseason for the first time since 2016. Rays beginning a series in Cleveland. They were the other relevant team in the wild card is in action. Corey Kluber getting his start for Tampa. First time back in Cleveland since being traded back in 2019. Rough return. He'd only go 4, but equally not the greatest for Cleveland, Shane Bieber. This one needed extras when the Rays, Harold Ramirez at the plate.
And a ground ball. It's going to get by Ramirez up the left field line. Walls has scored. Franco's going to score. It's a double for Ramirez, and the Rays take a 6-4 lead.
Guardians would add one more in their half of the 11th, but that's all they get. 6-5 the final, so Tampa Bay still a game and a half back of Toronto for that first wild card spot. And the struggles continue for the Seattle Mariners. They were shut out by Texas 5-0. So looking at the American League, Jays up game and a half over the Rays and 3 up on Seattle. The Baltimore Orioles, they're 3.5 out of the final wild card spot. So they need a win tonight against Boston, but a loss by them and a Jays win could see the Jays back in the postseason. To the National League, Braves pick up a 4th win in a row, 8-2 over the Nationals. And because of a shock result at Citi Field with the Marlins knocking off the Mets 6-4, Atlanta now leading the National League East. The Phillies lose a 3rd straight 2-1 to the Cubs. Padres win 4-3 over the Doyers. They go up 2.5 games up over Philly for that second wild card. To the CFL, Jake Mayer, he's got a new deal. So they're heading to the playoffs for 17th straight year. So time to take care of a key part of their future. Here's Jake Mayer on the extension to keep him around Calgary for the next couple seasons.
Very nice. Very surreal for my family and I. Super grateful, obviously, for the Calgary Stampeders. The faith that they've shown, through this extension means a lot to me. So I'm super grateful and excited for the future.
So he's excited, he's happy, but what does that mean for the incumbent quarterback, the backup, him in Jake Mayer? Would be what does that mean for Bo'Levi Mitchell, who is a free agent at season's end? He talked about it. He hasn't requested a trade, but here's his thoughts on the whole deal.
I haven't asked for one. I have talked to Dave and Huff about it. I know there's been phone calls or whatnot, but for me, I don't get to control that. I'll listen to all options. I'll keep in constant communication with Huff and Dave on those things. But until something happens, I'm just going to keep preparing to play.
Do you envision finishing the 22 as a Stampede?
I have no idea. I mean, I assume so. That's my thought right now. So unless something drastic happens that changes that, then yeah.
So Bo'Levi doesn't see like he'll be traded, but who knows what happens. Business is different in the CFL for sure. CFL trade deadline 1 week from today at 3 p.m. Calgary time. Of course, Coach Dave Dickinson will be joining us at the top of the hour. What do you take from there?
Big news for the Stampeders, obviously, getting Jake Mayer locked in. He's 25 years old. I think he's shown very well these last couple of weeks as the starter and kind of continuing what he did last year, right? He came in for a small sample size when Bo was injured, but was that enough to prove that he could be a starter in this league? Probably not. I think he's answered a lot of those questions, and the Stampeders obviously felt comfortable making him the guy going forward. So a big shot of confidence for him again ahead of this game on Saturday. So it will be interesting to watch what the Stampeders do. We'll talk to Dave about that next.
You'll see all your...
Sorry. To the beautiful game.
You'll see all your favorite soccer stars like Arriaga, Arriaga 2, Barriaga, Aruglia, and Pizzozza.
Well, maybe you didn't, as technical difficulties twice during Canada and Uruguay caused some delays for people wanting to watch the Canada men's national team take on Uruguay in a World Cup warm-up. Stiff test for Canada, this being their first game against nations from South America since Colombia back in 2014. Uruguay ranked 13th in the FIFA rankings. Uruguay flexing that elite talent early on. Nicolas De La Cruz would score the opening goal 6 minutes in off a nice free kick. And then Darwin Nunez would put this one away 10 minutes later.
Suarez. To Nunez, knocks that down, knocks that in. Nunez set things right after a glaring miss 5 minutes ago, not that time.
The Liverpool man makes it 2-0 Uruguay. That would be the final. Canada actually controlled a majority of possession with 55%, generating 11 shots. So there were some positives, but as you'll hear from manager John Herdman, they know they can be better. A lot of disappointment in Herdman's voice here.
Yeah, I mean, in my head, really, really frustrated. And, you know, inside, yeah, you're sort of balancing that with some really positive elements of the performance. So I think when you have that much opportunity, you got to take it. And you see the level, how clinical Uruguay were in taking their moments. And Canada just felt we wanted that extra pass, extra touch. I think by the time we get to the World Cup, as I said to the players, we're not going to get a prize for a performance award at the World Cup. You know, you have to take your moments, and we didn't tonight. And that's the big learning. That is a learning. We can compete with a top team like Uruguay, but competing and winning are two different things.
Different attitude for this club, or for this nation, going into their first World Cup since 1986. John Herdman demands more, needs more from these guys. Canada will have one more warm-up game a week ahead of the World Cup. That'll be against Japan in Dubai on November 17th, just 6 days before they take on Belgium in their Group F opener. That'll do it for the Morning Report.
Thank you, Patrick. The Morning Report brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. The head coach of the Calgary Stampeders joins us next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.